Shalom, and thank you for learning with us. Beth Emmanuel relies on the generosity of our listeners to sustain our Messianic synagogue. Please consider a donation to Beth Emmanuel, where Messianic Judaism is more than an idea. It's really happening.
Last Shabbat on Parshat Shalach, I announced to the community, and I wanted the whole community to hear it together, about a very big miracle. As you know, when we first arrived in Hudson and purchased this property, the synagogue building, the Presbyterian Church that we've converted into our Messianic Jewish synagogue, I put forward the objective of establishing a local mikveh at that time. And the original plan was to put it in the basement, actually to dig a mikveh in the basement and put it in the room that is now being used as the nursery. Since then, we, of course, reconsidered that idea, and the mikveh committee, after considering privacy issues and several other factors, we reconsidered the wisdom of putting a mikveh in the synagogue, and we looked at other options, a lot of other options. But the price of real estate in Hudson and the infeasibility of purchasing a Hudson property and then essentially demolishing it to retrofit it to make a mikveh, ultimately the mikveh committee recommended utilizing a portion of our parking lot for new construction to create the facility. And so that was the path that we chose to follow several years ago. And we hired an architect and solicited bids from a contractor. We anticipated the price tag for the mikveh facility would come in as high as perhaps $450,000, but the actual bid came in around $1 million, which you have to admit is a little bit out of reach for our community. So, yes, we tried raising funds, but to this date, in the last 20 years, we managed to raise only somewhere around $210,000, which is about $10,000 a year for the existence of the community. Not an insignificant amount, really amazing, actually. However, of that $210,000, we've already spent about $50,000 on the architect and the surveyor and the development work and legal questions and so forth regarding the creation of a facility, leaving only about $160,000. You will not be surprised to hear me say that $1 million mikveh facility is out of reach for a small community like ours that after 20 years of scrimping and saving has only come up with just over a tenth of that million. Such a facility, on a comparable level, is usually funded by a very large synagogue community with a wealthy professional class, or in many cases, by a combination of synagogue communities working together to share a mikveh. In the words of the 10 spies from the Torah portion, "We went into the land where you sent us, and Hudson certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the price tag on such a facility is too high, very large, giant. We are not able to raise that much money. It is too much for us." But Hashem says, "My servant Caleb has a different spirit." Both Joshua and Caleb were of a different spirit. They said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it." Numbers 13:30. "If the Lord is pleased with us," they said, "then he will give it to us." Numbers 14:8. So the big announcement is that last month, we received an anonymous designated donation for the construction of the mikveh facility, totaling over $900,000. Just short of $1 million. I cannot tell you anything about the identity of the donor except that the person felt moved by God to make the donation to the mikveh fund and did so on that basis alone. The only caveat being total anonymity, such that not even I nor the elders know who the donor is. Only the Beth Emmanuel treasurer knows. This is a nes gadol, a great miracle. This is an enormous miracle and a testimony to the persistence of faith and prayer, because there was never any shred of doubt that we as a community could not afford to accomplish the task without a divine intervention, without a miracle from heaven. So our attitude has always been that this need is on Hashem, that if he wants a Jewish community, a Messianic Jewish synagogue and community here in Hudson, that's up to him. But if that's what he wants, if that's the case, that comes with certain needs for which he must provide. And the mikveh is one of them. And because of that, you have continued faithfully in prayer and in giving what you could and in faith and belief. Our master says, he who is faithful with little will be entrusted with much. And today you have been entrusted with much. This miracle, this miraculous donation, came to us during the days around Shavuot, the end of the Omer, the last days leading up to the festival. And so it entered Hudson along with a certain period of intensity of the Shefa, the divine flow that accompanied the holy day. And around that time, the frequency of the minyanim that we had with Shavuot and all of the extra guests leading up to the wedding. And in those last days of gestation for the three new souls that entered our community, all of this was happening at the same time. And the miracle also comes to us as a divine endorsement of, frankly, what we're doing here in Hudson at Beth Emanuel, which is building an Orthodox heterodoxy, which is, that's a contradiction in terms. But what I mean is a halakhic version of Messianic Judaism, a Orthodox Messianic Judaism, if you will. There's a series of audios on our website, bethemanuel.org, that explains our approach to Messianic Judaism, which is somewhat unique in the world, explains why we do traditional synagogue services, why we count a minyan, a Jewish minyan, why we have a mechitza, why we use traditional liturgy, why we do Hebrew liturgy, why we read the Torah in Hebrew. This series is aptly titled, It's Too Jewish. And it's a series that we recommend to new members or people who are considering becoming new members, because what we do here is so radically different than anywhere else in the Messianic Jewish world. Our idea is not just for the sake of being Orthodox because somebody in the Messianic world has to, which is also true. Our idea here is that this really is the Judaism of the Torah, the religion of the Bible, in direct continuity with the religion practiced by Yeshua and the apostles, in an unbroken line of continuity. So for us, it's not just a window dressing or a kosher style deli going on here. It's what we really believe. It's the type of Judaism that we believe Yeshua practiced in his day, the form of it that was existing in his day in the first century Jewish world of Judea and Galilee. And it's the type of Judaism that we believe Yeshua would be practicing if the story of the gospel were to take place today. It's the world into which he would be born into if the New Testament was set in our modern era, because it's the religion of the Bible. And what I mean by that is, if Yeshua was born to a virgin girl named Miriam today, that girl would be part of an Orthodox Jewish community somewhere in the world, maybe somewhere in the land of Israel. And she'd be raised in an Orthodox Jewish home, and she would raise that child in an Orthodox Jewish home, the equivalent of what Miriam of Nazareth did in the first century. So if you want to know how we arrive at these conclusions, that's a conversation for another time, perhaps. But my point in bringing all of this up right now is really twofold. Number one, this form of Messianic Judaism that we're pioneering here in Hudson absolutely needs access to a mikveh. It's not optional, and it's not the sort of thing, you know, like a bathtub or a baptismal or a swimming pool. That's not going to cover it. It has to be a kosher mikveh. And number two reason I bring this up is because the miracle I'm telling you about right now, this absolute awe-inspiring and frankly humbling miracle I'm telling you about today, arrives as a divine endorsement of the Beth Emanuel Project. A strong affirmation from heaven, if you will, and amen from the host above, a testament to the integrity of the venture. And so I see it as a huge miracle, just an absolutely huge miracle, but also an encouragement that we're on the path that Hashem would have us walk. It is a huge miracle, but there's a lot of related miracles I could tell you about that were necessary to be in place before this miracle. We didn't know they were related at the time, but those of you who attended our annual business meeting heard the story about how the board of directors has undertaken a year-long project, more than a year-long project. It's like almost a two-year project, cleaning house, so to speak, going through all of our paperwork from the beginning of the community and reconciling all of the books and sorting through, creating financial statements for years back, all of this and then incorporating with the state of Wisconsin. Our incorporation was still in Minnesota, getting everything squared with the IRS, with the federal government, obtaining official articles of incorporation from the federal government. All of this has been the work, the labor of the last couple years. We had no idea that this miracle was coming. But when you think about it, all of that had to be in place. All of that, the books, the records, the accounts, the entire organization, the nonprofit status of the organization, all of that underwent an overhaul. We didn't realize that this was in anticipation of this coming miracle. There's a couple caveats that I have to throw out along with this miracle. First of all, we need to get new bids from the contractors because it's been several years. The price of labor has gone up. The price of materials has gone up. It's been about two. Some of those bids are a year and a half to 2 years old, something like that. So we need to get the bids updated. So I'm not exactly sure where that falls. There are some city approvals still pending, and we need to coordinate with the Rav, who is overseeing the kosher status of the mikveh. All of these are moving pieces that need to be resolved before we can break ground. We need to recognize that there's going to be an increase in operational expenses at Beth Emanuel because the new facility, you know, is going to require maintenance, upkeep, cleaning, utilities, and insurance. Our insurance for the building here went up three times the amount. Last year, it was tripled, the price of the insurance policy. Now, imagine if we had another facility and one with swimming pools, maybe that's also going to affect the insurance policy. So there's a lot of questions to be resolved. There's a lot of details to be worked out. But it's important that we don't join the 10 spy team, you know, and start pointing out only the problems and the giants ahead and that sort of thing. Instead, this is a time for giving thanks. And it's not a time to be faint-hearted. Where there are miracles, you know, it's actually puts you in a place of jeopardy. The master says, to whom much is given, much will be required. So if we've seen a miracle here, and that's what it is, you call it what it is, we've seen a miracle, that puts us into a position of jeopardy, that God is really acting in our midst. Well, You know, what happens when God is in your midst? We read about it in the Torah portion. We read about it in the last several weeks of the Torah. It puts us in a serious situation where God is listening. God is watching the attitudes of our hearts. He wants to see us with that different spirit like Caleb and Joshua, and not like the 10 spies who complain about everything. And make sure that we are on his team and not fighting for our own drama and general cussedness and bad attitude. Be careful not to be a stick in the mud for the sake of being the eternal stick in the mud, but to come together with the community in a spirit of unity to contribute to the forward progress of this venture. What's more, I think the mikvah should be a testament to purity, ritual purity, spiritual purity. The world is in need of purity, and that's what a mikvah is all about. It's about purification. But the world today, look, you know what I'm talking about. The world is steeped in immorality like never before. We see immorality, sexual immorality, confusion that results from it on an unprecedented level. We've seen a collapse of the birth rate, not just in this country, but internationally around the world. People are not having babies, which is something else that the mikvah is all about, is about having babies. So as we come around this miracle of, we're going to put a mikvah here in Hudson, that's with God's help. We're going to put a mikvah in Hudson for purification. We need to make sure that we are diligent ourselves to clean the inside of the cup, so we're not just cleaning the outside of the cup. Finally, as a last thought, I just want to thank God for this miracle, but I also want to thank the donor through whom God has chosen to work, and ask that Hashem should give the donor a share in the mitzvah of every immersee, everyone who's immersed here, every disciple of Yeshua that's immersed in the name of Yeshua, every bride and groom that go into the water of purification, a share in the mitzvah of every child that's conceived and born through the purification of the facility, a share in the purification of the bride of the Messiah. As we turn in repentance and, you know, come and be immersed in the name of Yeshua for the repentance, the forgiveness of sins, and a share in the preparation for the kingdom of heaven and the receiving of the Shekhinah, which is all about purity and purification. So may it be quickly, soon in our lifetimes.
And learn from me and find rest for your soul.